is Cole Kublik?
No idea.
This could be trouble.
Now with the call, Cole Kublik.
Auburn. We just talked to Cole Kublik a little while ago.
You watch him now on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
That was Kip Bellett, number 61.
Oh, I get.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor.
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump, live in the Madison RV Studios. You can hit us up on the phones, 866-485-9867, 866-485-WUMP. We got a musical delight for you at 820, another Tennessee song that we will present to you. Matt Zenitz of AL.com, talking Butch Jones potentially to Alabama at 8:40. We'll talk the rest of that coaching staff with him as well. Fred Siegel, Old Takes Exposed, coming up at 9. Amy Dash, CBS legal analyst, to talk NCAA, FBI, Jerry Jones, Roger Goodell at 9:20 this morning. But as we do every morning at this time, we welcome in our good friend,
Conrad Thompson.
Good morning, Conrad. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good, man. I appreciate you having me on, and your little intro makes me happy every time. So thank you for that.
You know, it kind of slipped my mind yesterday because we hadn't talked to you in a while. We got you back on, but there were actually a lot of things that I've been saving up to sort of talk to you about. One was yesterday. Jimmy Traina, who writes for Sports Illustrated, a big fan of yours, discussing a potential Cena-Undertaker match at WrestleMania. Cena saying it's not going to happen. Traina says he thinks it is going to happen. What can you tell us?
It's going to happen.
All right. So I quoted his tweet yesterday and said I wouldn't believe it until Conrad Thompson told me it was going to happen, and now you're saying it's going to happen. So,
you know, he had hip replacement surgery after WrestleMania last year. He was in a bad way. But since that's happened, he's in really, really good shape. He's been able to work out a lot, and he's moving around great. Bruce had dinner with him about 4 months ago, and he says Undertaker was just bouncing up and down the stairs like he hasn't seen him do in 20 years. So whatever sort of nagging injuries were sort of slowing him down, he seems to have curtailed all that. Obviously, he's still got lots of wear and tear at his age, but I think he probably wants one more match, and he'd like to maybe go out on a shield with John Cena. And really, honestly, if The Undertaker wants to do one more match, who the hell are we to say no? So yeah, it's probably going to happen.
Do you promote that with appearances on Raw leading up, or do you just say, hey, it's Undertaker, Cena, WrestleMania, and that's about all the billing you need?
I think we'll see him tonight on SmackDown.
Wow. Okay. There you go. Conrad Thompson with us from First Family Mortgage. Conor McGregor posts on Instagram that he's back. He wants to fight. He needs to fight. That, along with, and there's a couple things happening in the UFC. Floyd Mayweather continues to sort of toy with some sort of McGregor Mayweather UFC match. I think that's not possible, is it? Ever?
Well, I hate to say never, because we've said that before about these guys, and it still happened. It would be a silly amount of money. I don't think it would necessarily tarnish Floyd's legacy because it wouldn't officially count against his boxing record. But the likelihood of him allowing the UFC to take as much as they would probably require to have it on a UFC pay-per-view makes me think it's probably not going to happen. But like Floyd Mayweather versus CM Punk, I could see that happening. I mean, that's probably a very easy fight for Floyd, and that's going to upset a lot of people, but that's my opinion.
No, I actually was going to ask you, Justin Hartling, I saw via BetDSI had shared the odds of a CM Punk Floyd Mayweather MMA bout, Mayweather plus 220, CM Punk minus 300. Does CM Punk have a future in MMA? Aside from this, which would be a bit of a showcase fight and a gigantic money grab probably, does CM Punk have a real future in MMA?
No. Now, he does have a real future in promoting himself. I mean, he is a draw, but it's not a situation where he's going to really impress anybody with his MMA skills, in my opinion. He just got started too late. He didn't have a real base, but coming in, he had been doing some jiu-jitsu, but realistically, at this stage of the game with the UFC, you're going to have to come in, and you've been rolling with jiu-jitsu since you were a toddler, or you started in elementary school as an amateur wrestler, and now here you are. And so Floyd Mayweather, to me, although the betting line may say that he's an underdog there, I wouldn't believe that, simply because it's not like, you know, CM Punk has this great wrestling pedigree. Not professional wrestling, but really amateur wrestling. And in my opinion, Floyd would have no trouble knocking him out. So, no, I don't think that he has a major future in MMA, but as long as he's having fun and making money, then good for him. I think there's a lot of talk of putting him on a Chicago card later this year. I'm not exactly sure when they're in Chicago this year, but I do know they have a date there. So maybe it's April, maybe it's May, maybe it's June, but sometime in that area, I think that we'll see CM Punk on a UFC card in Chicago. And if it doesn't go well, that might be his last UFC fight, but if he wants to keep it going, Bellator would love to have him.
Dana White saying yesterday, too, he would like to see a Brock return to the UFC. How real is that?
I think Brock Lesnar is maybe the gamiest dude in the history of negotiations. This past Sunday, the WWE was running their pay-per-view in Las Vegas, and they're debuting Ronda Rousey, and she's doing a contract signing for WrestleMania. And so it's a big hoopla to have Ronda Rousey with the WWE in Las Vegas. Meanwhile, Brock Lesnar's in Las Vegas, too, but he's not at the WWE show. He's wearing a UFC t-shirt posing for pictures with Dana White out in front of a restaurant, and Dana posted on his social media with just a smiley face. It's the coolest public chess move I've seen either Paul Heyman or Dana White or Brock Lesnar do, because Brock's contract is up a little bit after WrestleMania. They may have a few other little commitments here or there, but as far as major storylines, full-time performer, whatever you want to call it, that sort of wraps up right after WrestleMania. So, yeah, I think it's very likely that Brock comes back to the UFC, or at least teases that he might. And I think the John Jones-Brock Lesnar match becomes more and more viable should Jones be able to clear everything up.
Great stuff, Conrad. There's no debate where your savings are going to end up or how often they will show up. It's every day, all day at First Family Mortgage. Tell our listeners why it's so easy.
Well, it's a quick 10-minute phone call. And, you know, a lot of us just sort of get used to living without the mortgage money. It's just drafted out of our bank account. We don't ever really even consider it. I want you to ask yourself this today. How many payments do you have left on your house? Just in our regular speak, we hear people say, oh, I've got 4 car payments left. Well, how many house payments do you have left? If you don't know the answer, you haven't done enough planning, you need to spend a few minutes with us this morning. We routinely help UMP listeners pay their house off faster and with cheaper monthly payments. We're talking about cutting years off of your loan. If we could make sure that you are completely debt-free, you own your house free and clear at 59 rather than 67, why wouldn't you do that? We hooked an UMP listener up with that exact same scenario last week. But here's the best part. Because we got rid of some credit card debt for him, he's actually paying less right now. So he got out of debt faster and with cheaper monthly payments and with a greater tax deduction. And now he can retire not just on time, but early if he wants to. Find out how much money we can save you right now on your ride to work. You don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket, and you already know the number. It's 425-0105.
Great stuff, Conrad. Look forward to catching up tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
Conrad Thompson with First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Got one in my hip pocket for tomorrow for Conrad. Did you see the rumors that Rob Gronkowski may become the latest WWE superstar? Because he is scheduled to make about $8.5 million this year with the Patriots, but he may not want to play football anymore. because of all of his various injuries, and so maybe goes the Ronda Rousey route, where he does, you know, a handful of dates, makes some big coin. Rob Gronkowski, you we'll in see. On him? Would you watch the WWE with him?
No. I mean, it's
on the ground.
Not going to be like must-see television just because he's there. I mean, there are certain WWE things that I'll tune into every now and then, but, you know.
Like SmackDown tonight?
No.
Like Rob Gronkowski versus
I'll be
Ronda
watching
Rousey?
Auburn and Alabama basketball tonight. So probably some NBA on the side TV.
It's not the Iron Bowl of basketball. That's
it's
two
not,
different games
but
you have
they
to
both
watch.
Play. Yeah.
It's two different games.
They're not on at the same time.
That's two straight games you have to watch.
Yeah, I won't get all of the first one but because of bedtime, but I will get the second half, and then if I can stay up for the second one, I'll watch as much as I can.
I'll pray for you.
Thank you. I need it. Let's get to 10 After Tweets, also brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
Jose at Smokin' Tide tweets, at Cole Kubik, did Mike miss the question? I don't think so. I feel like he got it. Did you?
Some people don't answer the questions directly. They answer them indirectly. Or not at all. I'll lean with Jose. Hey, Cole, I saw this, Cole. This from Art Stapleton.
Who?
Mike Mayock has Sam Darnold as his number one quarterback. Did you hear about this? Big news. Mike Mayock had a huge...
A lot of people have Sam Darnold as their number one QB. That's not huge news.
Here's the huge news, Cole, why he has him as his number one quarterback. Mike Mayock had this giant teleconference yesterday where anybody from the media... I mean, I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm about to play for you my conversation with Mike Mayock.
Yours?
Yes.
You couldn't have got him on the show?
No, I just wanted to ask him this one question. It's my conversation. My discussion.
Humble brag.
With Mike Mayock. My conversation being played now. Anyway, he was being asked about Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold, and the reporter was asking about, you know, hey, this is like the first time in like for like since Aikman that we're looking at UCLA and USC quarterbacks going like the top 10 in the same year, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Mike Mayock rambled on, as he sometimes does. 2-hour teleconference, by the way. 2 hours. 2 hours of stuff I'm still cutting up from yesterday.
Jeez.
Regardless, he said this about why he thinks Sam Darnold is his number one quarterback. This is not out of context. This is one of the things.
The flip side to Darnold are the turnovers and not just interceptions, but fumbles. And he's got a history of fumbling going back to high school. But I think fumbling can be controlled in the pocket. I think that's one of the few things you can learn in the pocket as an NFL quarterback is how to keep both hands on the football and control some of the fumbling. He is a gunslinger, and he will put the ball up for grabs at times, but he can play in all 32 cities. He can play indoors. He can play outdoors.
I'm going to repeat that last part because that's very important about how Sam Darnold projects to the NFL.
Okay.
He can play in all 32 cities. He can play indoors. He can play outdoors.
He can play in all 32 cities. He can play indoors and outdoors. So what's
the problem?
What I'm telling you is...
I feel like that's a requirement for a lot of NFL quarterbacks, Arky, and the fact that he's got that one knocked out is a positive.
He's now an option for everybody.
Sounds like it.
Now, Josh Rosen can only play indoors, I hear.
Well,
even
we've had this.
Listen, outdoors.
We've had this two running back system getting popular for a long time. Mm-hmm. Maybe the two quarterback system is something that's coming next, but it's weather based.
And of course,
he can play in all 32 cities. He can play indoors. He can play outdoors.
I think Mike Mayock talks just to hear himself talk sometimes.
By the way, how many?
I really believe that.
How many indoor games has Wyoming played in his career?
Did they go on the road to North Dakota State or something? I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Idaho.
That was an option, I think, at one point. It couldn't have been on the schedule.
I was thinking out loud here. I don't know.
He can play in all 32 cities. He can play indoors. He can play outdoors.
So he can play in Cleveland or Pittsburgh or Miami?
What?
Is it only 32 cities, by the way? Like, if we were to bring him to Birmingham or Huntsville, Would he not be able to function?
Here's the thing.
He didn't name the 32 cities. That's a good point. That's a good point.
I got it. I get it.
Is he in Saginaw, Michigan? Is that one of the 32 cities? I know what you're saying. You think you get it, but I don't get it. He's just talking at that point.
I think I understand what he's trying to say is that he performs as well in harsh conditions or maybe better than most other quarterbacks would in poor conditions. So, therefore, a place like a Cleveland or a Denver or Buffalo wouldn't be something that you had to be concerned about with that. I've never heard of that really being discussed with any player before as of they're a better fit here or there because of weather conditions. That's kind of comes with it.
You're giving him a lot of leeway. A lot of leeway.
I like Mike Mayock. I respect Mike Mayock. I'm just trying to let you know where I think he's going with it. And I think this may be – now, he has Sam Darnold as his number one, right?
He does.
But Sam I feel Darnold like this is maybe like a subtle jab at Rosen or Darnold to say that, yeah, you guys are kind of soft and essentially warm weather QBs?
But they played outside.
You can smoke inside.
Well, you know.
They have a great selection of cigars and also a great selection of cigars.
I'm looking through the transcript to give you exactly what he said right after that, because all he did was talk about Josh Rosen afterwards. This is not... I think you're giving him... Listen, Mike Mayock seems to be fine. Mike Mayock likes to blow V8s. Two hours.
Hey, but I bet there are people on there listening, so good for him.
2 hours, by the way, there were, because there are people asking. 2 hours to where he literally said this, Cole. I'm not going to play it for him. I'm just going to read what he said. He literally said, other than saying I do not do my team needs analysis until after a free agency, so if you want to talk about Cleveland or Pittsburgh or first round, kind of tell me what your positions you're interested in. Okay, I'll open it up. He basically says, I'll just talk, but don't ask me this kind of talky talk. Mike Mayock, you're a blowhard, but you're okay at your job. I don't hate what you do. You have a lot of time you have to fill during the draft in the off season.
Susan.
Hey, Jimmy Trina tweets this. She brought him up with Conrad. John Sterling turns 80 this July. He's about to call his 30th straight season of Yankees games without missing a single inning. Even haters have to be impressed.
Yeah, it is.
John Sterling, if you don't know, it's the guy who goes, "Honey Bomb from A-Rod."
That's not even near his best work.
It's not. The Grandy Man Can.
Darren Winsett tweets, at Cole Kubik, at Arkishate, there are 32 NFL teams, not 32 NFL cities. Jack Wagon!
I'm telling you, I don't know. That's right, because you got Los Angeles has multiple teams. Okay, so what I'm saying is, maybe New York, maybe what he's saying is that he could play in 32 cities. Like, what are all the cities? We don't know the cities.
Fair.
He can play in all 32 cities. He can play indoors. He can play outdoors.
Now, I see. He says all 32 cities. I'm assuming he means some of the NFL cities.
Yeah, it's also a very fair tweet from Darren.
Does he tweet? Exactly. Is he talking about the future Las Vegas? That means no longer Oakland.
Yeah, but there's still two in L.A. There's still two in New York.
I don't know where he's going with this, Cole. You're giving him a lot of credit for a dude who just likes to talk. He just likes to bark, bark, bark.
I don't view Mayock as somebody who just says things just so people talk about it or
No. He just
hear him.
He just talks. He just continues to... He doesn't stop talking, is what I'm saying. He says a lot of words. Isn't he the guy that gave us the phrase... what is it? We're talking about offensive linemen, talking about them playing inside of a telephone booth.
Yeah. And that's pretty legit. I mean, some guys are better down inside and not out on an island by themselves like they are a tackle. I mean, that's a fair way to describe a guy who is projected to be able to play either tackle or guard, and one reason he's much better at guard. That's not that crazy.
It's the last time you saw a telephone booth, not named TARDIS.
I'm sorry?
I think it's named TARDIS.
I don't know what that...
It's a Doctor Who thing.
Oh, okay.
Everybody knows that. Even if you're not a science fiction dude, you should know TARDIS, because it shows up all the time, everywhere, constantly.
Okay. Fair enough. I don't know TARDIS, but Chris Crow tweets at Cube Show cigars times two on that commercial. It is by far, and will always will be, the best commercial to ever run on this station.
I don't know. I miss
reason number one. I will be here 4 years in September, and it has not been altered one time. Not the verbiage, not the address, not the contact information.
But that one has not been changed.
Correct.
They're
not the contact information, not the substance, anything.
The humidor pipe shop.
You can talk about today's politics.
Smoke inside.
And you tell me.
It's a huge selling point. You can't smoke inside anywhere.
There you can.
Smoke inside.
Now you tell me another place on this planet that has a great selection of cigars and also has a great selection of cigars. I've never seen one and never heard of one.
You know,
and damn sure haven't heard of another genius use it in their advertising like the Humidor does on our station.
You know, this is not me just pandering. Whenever the wife and I finally have a child, we'll go to the Humidor Pipe Shop to see if they have a fine selection of cigars, especially their It's a Boys.
Will you smoke it inside?
If they'll let me bring it into the operating room, I will.
Are you going there because of their great selection of cigars or their great selection of cigars?
I'll come in for the great selection of cigars. I'll stay for the great selection of cigars.
Boy. I don't know how you beat it. Don't know how you beat it. Todd Blast tweets at Cube Show Arky question mark saying someone talks too much. Hashtag signs of the apocalypse.
Oh, Todd, just turn the station off. Stop that.
The whole station?
Yeah, just turn it off. Don't come in for the big dog. Don't come in for the round table.
I will give you credit. I don't have
a two-hour teleconference.
Well, I will give you credit, too, as far as maybe turn the show off, but I don't hear you trying to fit your voice into every promo and every commercial humanly possible on this station. So I will give you credit for that.
Mm. I'm working a promo now with Aaron Taylor. Oh. Does not have me in it at all.
Maybe you do.
It doesn't have me in it at all. It has Aaron Taylor.
Okay.
Is my name Aaron Taylor?
No.
No, but it has a great selection of cigars in it.
All right, so when we come back, we've heard from this gentleman before. He has released a new single. Another Tennessee song is out. We play it for you after this. Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Yump. Dan Strickland wants to know if we're watching the Unsolved Tupac and Biggie series starting tonight. Mrs. BD surprised me by saying she really wanted to see it. It looks like it's very poorly done, so probably not. No, I'll be watching. I'll be watching basketball tonight.
I have no interest in that at all. But I talk too much, so let's get to the music.
Okay. We've heard from this dude before. You know him well as like the Tennessee guy. His name's Tony Paul. At Tony Paul VFL via Twitter. Well, he's at it again. And he's got a song surrounding one of the topics we covered earlier on the show with Mike Griffith. Here it is.
It's over. That was it. You guys like it? Did you guys like it? Was it good? Did you appreciate it?
That's it. Good.
You appreciate it? That was it. It was a hit.
Lord knows that I'm a Tennessee fan, but there's one thing that I don't understand. Why do we still have to keep looking at that face?
Okay. We know where we're going here. I like it. Lord knows I'm a Tennessee fan. What face are we having to look at?
Lord knows that I'm a Tennessee fan, but there's one thing that I don't understand.
Yeah.
Why do we still have to keep looking at that face?
Tell him, son.
It's been 100 days since he's been gone. I think it's about time that we move on.
Yeah.
Cause the fog around here seen enough of old Butch Jones. So why is he still on the Jumbotron? Just cover it up because he don't believe. sick. It's been 100 days since he's been gone. So why's he still on the jumbotron? We're the Tennessee Vols and we can't go on if Butch Jones is still on the jumbotron.
Yes, yes, Tony. Nice job. Here's the thing. You got to understand that he's 100% right. This is a call out to Tennessee to get everyone back on the same page, because I think everybody's been splintered. They've been splintered because some people clearly want Butch Jones's face to stay on the jumbotron.
Is splintered a way for you saying split? Or
yeah. It's similar.
Like, I think people are mad, but the fan base splintered, like,
some people want to keep the name on.
Some people want to keep Butch up there?
He's still up there, isn't he? Some people want to keep him on.
Oh, I just think that's just being lazy.
It's 100 days. 100 days.
100.
101 days now that thing still be up there. So what are we doing over here, huh? Well, clearly somebody still wants that to be up there. Maybe Jeremy Pruitt isn't actually the new head coach. Maybe this is all subterfuge. Maybe what's happening, and hear me out, they hire Jeremy Pruitt to come to Tennessee as the quote-unquote head coach.
Okay.
He's got a lot of knowledge of Alabama.
All right.
Then they send Butch Jones down to Tuscaloosa to become an analyst to learn more about Alabama.
All right.
And then next year, Butch Jones comes back with Jeremy Pruitt. They come off and knock down the Alabama Crimson Tide. Finally, the streak will be over. Now, it takes another year for it to happen, but maybe, just maybe, this is the sabotage we were looking for.
Still on the jumbotron, just cover it up because he don't belong. Tear it all down, brick by brick. If I see it again, I'm gonna be sick.
I like to tear it down brick by brick, though.
I mean, I don't think it's being held up by bricks, but Jones's picture on there does have an advertisement from Dish Network. Maybe they're responsible for this.
Yeah, it seems like that you can clearly
tear it all down, brick by brick.
Maybe Dish Network paid for this and they want to leave it up there.
Maybe Dish Network didn't pay for the head coach named Butch Jones. Maybe they paid for just the head coach, whomever that will be. Dish Network, suck it, whatever. Really?
Tear it all down, brick by brick. If I see it again, I'm gonna be sick.
No, you won't.
There's no reason.
You won't be sick.
There's no reason for fine. This thing to still be up.
You will be fine.
The only thing Tony Paul's going to be sick on is if he swallows his tobacco juice. And that's the only thing he's going to be sick on. Come on, Tony Paul, call the show. We play all your stuff. We play the hits.
And we do play the hits.
Which is all of them. Because you guys can't forget the other songs that he has brought to us. Cole, you remember he's brought us other songs, right?
Here we go.
He has brought us other songs. What? Don't. Why you look like that, Cole? You know we have lots of songs. I'm not going to play them. Fine. I'm not going to play them. Fine. I'll be that way. You tell me one good reason why this thing's still up.
I can't come up with one. I think it's dumb as well.
I think after a week it's lazy. After 100 days?
And like you and I discussed on the show, there has to be...
Do they not know that the stadium's up?
There's not a Tennessee fan that owns a crane company that would gladly get up there and... Or a billboard company, whatever, and at least just throw like a black tarp over it. Something. People are driving by it every day. 100 days, people have been driving by that thing and seeing it.
Listen, the Vol Navy, they can... Now, granted, it's been a little chilly to get out with the Vol Navy and look at that, but still, it's way up there. It's be able to be seen by almost everybody.
I feel like that this is coming almost daily. So before we go to break and welcome in Matt Zinnitz of AL.com to talk... Butch Jones, obviously, been a much bigger topic of conversation today
so
than we would have ever imagined.
Butch Jones today.
Oddshark has changed their odds on something that could or could not be happening in 2018 or 19. And I just wanted to update you on that before we went to break, because I feel like you need to know more than anyone else. Despite that ankle injury, running over a sprinkler head.
I'll leave the show. Todd Blass will be so happy. I will leave the show right now if you mention that guy's name.
The odds for Tim Tebow to play in a Major League Baseball game
run the board.
In 2018 or 2019 continue to drop. They're now 5-1. Started out at 15-1.
Here's your first test. Hope you know how to get us a break.
We talk with Matt Zinnitz of AL.com next. Welcome back in Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump, live in the Madison RV studios. Go to MadisonRV.com. Matt Zinnitz of AL.com joins the show now. Follow him on Twitter at mzinitz, Z-E-N-I-T-Z. Matt, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, sir. What's up?
Not much. This Alabama coaching staff continues to sort of weave itself in and out of taking shape before the 2018 season begins. You report yesterday that Butch Jones could land an off-field role with the Crimson Tide. What do you know about what that position could look like and maybe the chances that it actually happens?
Yeah, I couldn't put a percent on it right now. I just know there's definitely a chance. That's definitely a possibility that there have been conversations between Nick Saban and Butch Jones regarding an off-field role, specifically an offensive analyst position. And the Butch has even been in Tuscaloosa and met with Coach Saban in person in regards to that. So, like I said, I couldn't put a percent on it right now, but there's definitely a possibility, and be interesting to see how it plays out.
Is there a slotted amount of off-field analyst spots that Alabama would have, or is that just something that if Nick Saban really wanted to bring somebody like Butch Jones in, he could just create it?
I would assume that it's probably the latter part, but they do actually have a need right now for analysts, specifically offensive analysts, because they've lost four of their analysts, and I think all four were offensive guys from last season. So Dan Warner went to South Carolina, Chris Winkie went to Tennessee, William Vallejos went to the Buffalo Bills, and so did Shea Tierney. So there's actually a need right now for analysts, specifically offensive analysts.
What do you know about Butch's contract and how that might affect whether or not he could actually take this position?
I don't think his contract or his buyout would be an issue for that. So he is owed, or was set to be owed, I want to say approximately $8 million or $8.2 million as part of his buyout from Tennessee, and that's paid in monthly installments until, I want to say, February of 2021, if I remember correctly, which was when his contract was set to expire. But if when he gets a job, then whatever he makes from that job is subtracted from what he's due to be paid as part of that buyout. So it would just be taken out of whatever Tennessee is paying him.
Visiting.
So like if he's making, I don't know, I'll throw out like a typical analyst number. So when Mike Locksley was still being paid by Maryland when he first got here as an analyst, I want to say Mike Locksley, I'm trying to remember the exact number. It was maybe like $45,000 or something that he made for the year. That was $45,000 that Maryland didn't have to pay that year. So if it did happen with Butch, I'm assuming it would be a similar situation money-wise.
Gotcha. So you just kind of offset the difference. Visiting with,
exactly,
with Matt Zinnitz of AL.com. Follow him on Twitter at mzinnitz. How much more change do you anticipate from this coaching staff by the time Alabama kicks off against Louisville?
Not that much, but it's definitely been an eventful offseason so far from a coaching standpoint. So the really interesting number is that of the 10 assistant coaches, so not even looking at anything off-field, but of the 10 assistant coaches, nine of them right now are either new or in different roles from their roles last season, which is just crazy and speaks to the amount of turnover there's been. And then you have a number of people behind the scenes that have moved on or new people that have been brought in behind the scenes to go along with that. Just a tremendous amount of turnover here at Alabama this all season.
Do you make anything of there being more offensive than defensive coaches on this staff?
Well, not that much. I mean, I just think that Coach Saban saw an opportunity to bring in certain people and wanted to take advantage of those opportunities. So, like with Dan Enos, it has long had a respect for Dan Enos and has spoken highly of him in the past and wanted to make it work to be able to bring in somebody like that. So you're in a situation now where you have Mike Locksley as your offensive coordinator, but he's now working with an individual position group. And He just made it work from a staff standpoint to be able to bring in somebody like a Dan Enos.
And you mentioned Dan Enos. I mean, he's a guy that's called plays. We know Mike Locksley has called plays. Is it in stone that Mike Locksley will call plays this coming up season?
Yes. Yeah.
You don't think that there's any sort of battle or maybe proving ground that's going to take place over spring ball with maybe multiple coaches on the staff, not just Locksley, not just Enos, but potentially Josh Gattis as well?
Yeah, from an offensive standpoint, I don't anticipate that. I expect both of those guys that you mentioned, so both Dan Enos and Josh Gattis, to have influence and for them, obviously, to play a role in terms of certain things from a preparation standpoint and overall in terms of what they're doing offensively. But in terms of calling plays, my full expectation is that Mike Locksley will be that guy. I think defensively, so a little bit more of a question mark. Tosh Lapoy will be the defensive play caller and obviously has the DC title, but you're going to see Pete Golding helping a lot with that, and he's going to have a lot of influence there.
There you go. Matt, great stuff, man. Really appreciate the time, and look forward to catching up again soon.
Sounds good, sir.
Matt Zenitz of AL.com joining us to talk Alabama coaching staff there. You feel pretty good saying Locksley is the play caller, even though that co-offensive coordinator tag is there with Josh Gattis, and you've got another offensive coordinator in Dan Enos handling the quarterbacks.
I don't have any reason to suspect it would be differently, do you?
Well, how many have we had in the last 17 games? Four? Or 19 games, whatever it is? There hasn't been a lot of stability there in the last calendar year and a half. So you've got a very intriguing situation with two, shall I say, proven quarterbacks. I mean, I think I feel pretty safe saying that.
I don't think you should say two is a proven quarterback at all.
He's proven some things. And
he's proven a half of football.
So with two quarterbacks who have a little bit different skill sets, some things they do in a very similar manner, some things they don't, how that's going to work out, the personalities involved, the other young talent on that side of the ball, some movement that's going to take place on that side of the ball, particularly with a guy like Jonah Williams, how that position shapes up. I could see if things aren't looking the way that Nick Saban wanted them to look early on, an exploration of other people maybe sharing or having that responsibility.
I think Nick Saban would change OCs, I mean, obviously in-house.
He fired an offensive coordinator the week before the national championship game. Don't ever put anything past Nick Saban.
Not because of play calling.
But he obviously felt good enough in what the next guy was going to be able to do, calling plays, to dump him.
And by the way, when he did that, they lost the national championship game.
They scored a lot of points, though. I don't think the offense was the reason they lost that game.
Lost the game. Be superstitious. I would. You make that decision, you lost the game.
Why would I be superstitious?
I'm telling Nick Saban, be superstitious about that. If you made a decision like that, you lost the game. Period.
No, I'm sure it's one that he didn't feel like he had to make at the time, and we all know that. I agree with you, he didn't make it because of play calling, but you manage that for 9 more days, 8 more days, whatever it was.
I agree.
If you're not confident in the next guy.
I agree. I sat there and said on the show Alabama deserved to lose the game after doing that. That's some bold move. Unless he did something that threatened NCAA eligibility of someone or that team to be able to have that national championship, you don't jump ship like that. No, that's a terrible message to send. Terrible, terrible, terrible message to send. Terrible thing to do for your team. But they ended up winning last year, so that's good for them.
All right, let's. When we go to a break, we come back next hour. Fred Siegel's going to be with us after this break. He'll give us some of the worst takes of the weekend. Also, we've got Amy Dash, CBS Sports legal analyst, coming up at 9:20. We mentioned the Jerry Jones and Roger Goodell situation earlier in the show. We'll continue that conversation with her, but most of that's going to be centered around the NCAA, the FBI, the coaches, what she expects from some of these guys who've already been brought in. How is this information going to be leaked out? the information sharing aspect of it, you know, exactly what that might mean, what that might say, and, you know, things of that nature. So a lot to talk about with Amy coming up at 9:20. I know Arky's interested to hear her thoughts on just Roger Goodell potentially slapping Jerry Jones with millions of dollars in fines.
I'm about to abandon the Cowboys.
Why doesn't Jerry Jones just get suspended for games like Ezekiel Elliott does? Like, he can't go to the games.
He still owns the team. He's still going to get profits.
I understand. Back with more Cube Show next.